Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get started, please rate and review our show. It helps people find us. On this episode of Sports Illustrated Weekly, the WNBA playoffs are upon us and we have everything you need to know to get ready. We are delighted to be joined by Jordan Liggins from the Spinsters podcast and Buckets for our postseason preview. I'm your host, John Gonzalez. From Sports Illustrated and iHeartRadio, this is Sports Illustrated Weekly. Jordan Liggins, welcome back to Sports Illustrated Weekly.
Thank you for having me. So happy to be here again.
Oh, it's delightful to have you on. As always, the WNBA playoffs are here, and you're going to help us set the table. Before we get in, I want to run through all of the different matchups with you because nobody's as plugged into the WNBA as you are, so it's going to be great for all of us. But I want to talk about the change to the format in the playoffs, which I find very interesting, Jordan. So no more byes. Every team plays in the first round. No reseeding after the first round. This is the component that I find interesting. After 6 years of single elimination first and second round games, we have now moved to first round matchups as a best of three, semifinal and finals best of five. The first round, Jordan, this is the wrinkle. First two games at the higher seed at home. If the lower seed somehow pulls that off, they get the decisive game three on their court. What do you make of all this? Do we like it?
I like it. It's like the new old format because this is a format that the W used to have back in the heyday. The single elimination was just chaos and it was fun, but it was like March Madness at a pro level and some players hated it. Like if you have an off game and you're a top seed, you don't have a chance to redeem yourself. So I like this series. It gives us more games just in general, more playoff games, which is what we want. But it allows for some bounce back games because that's how the Chicago Sky won last year. They had their best games in those single elimination games. And then they ended up winning the finals. They came into the playoffs at 500 and they still won the finals. So they kind of stopped that right after Chicago did that.
You make a compelling point. More basketball is always good. We love basketball here. On the one hand, I am an agent of chaos in my own life. I also embrace chaos as a content creator. However, if you were a basketball player and a basketball team and you were a higher seed, you certainly want more games because, as we know, the statistics bear it out. If you have an actual series, the higher seeds, the more accomplished teams tend to get through, as opposed to, hey, on any given night, if it's just one game, now all of a sudden there might be an upset. So it is a little bit fairer for the teams that have put in the work during the regular season, which brings me, Jordan, to these matchups. We'll start with the 1 versus the 8. It's the Las Vegas Aces versus the Phoenix Mercury. The race to number 1, Vegas barely held off the Chicago Sky, the aforementioned defending champions, by a half game.
Well, the Las Vegas Aces are the number 1 overall seed in the WNBA playoffs.
Vegas won all 3 games versus the Mercury in the regular season. What do you see from Vegas? What are their strengths? Does the Mercury have any shot here?
Vegas is going to win the championship. That is my statement.
I was
going
to save that for the end, but all right, let's do it up top.
Let's do it up top because they are winning this series and they are beating everyone. Asia Wilson is my MVP. So I don't think the Mercury have a chance. Diana Taurasi is out. She was out for the regular season. It's a question mark if she's playing in the playoffs. Skylar Diggins didn't finish the regular season for personal reasons. So this Mercury team is kind of stitched together barely. They don't have their all-star superstar in Brittany Griner right now. The Aces also have some injuries with De'Erica Hamby, but they are rolling. Kelsey Plum, if Asia wasn't the MVP, Kelsey Plum might be the MVP. Becky Hammond has this team moving like a machine, and they're going to beat everybody. So the Mercury are first up, and they're going to beat them too.
I like it. I like how declarative and definitive this is. As you mentioned, that first round matchup for the Aces doesn't seem like a tall order because of all the things that Phoenix has had to go through this season. They were 5 games under 500. They finished 15-20. As you mentioned, Diana Taurasi has a quad strain. Who knows if she'll be back? And then the entire Brittany Griner situation, which has been just a really awful situation. Her lawyers, we should mention, just appealed her sentence while the U.S. government tries to arrange a prisoner swap. There's no real good transition here. It's just like a weight that's over everybody. And that obviously, and rightly so, is a massive distraction because there's more important things than basketball. But because we're discussing basketball here, Jordan, just imagine you made the case for the Aces rolling and they're going to win the championship and they're playing so well. What would a Mercury upset have to look like? What would they have to pull off?
They would have to score 115 points each game.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points, especially in the W. The Aces are scoring so easily and so much. And they're the fastest team in the league, pace-wise. So it's like, you have to score more than them and you have to be faster than them for 3 games or 2 games. I don't see that happening, especially for the Mercury team. So if they were to win, they'd have to take it to the whole series and probably shoot 100% from 3. fast breaks.
As a basketball fan, I feel like 100% is a tall order from 3 or from anywhere on the court. So Godspeed to the Mercury. You've got some nice parting gifts coming your way. Let's go to number 2, Chicago Sky versus the number 7, New York Liberty. Chicago almost got the top slot. They're the defending champs.
Mission accomplished. That's it. For the first time in franchise history, the Chicago Sky.
We know that their interior with Candace Parker is excellent. And yet, you're already saying that this is a wrap. It's going to go to the Aces. Tell me more, though, about the Sky before we get to the Liberty and why the Sky could maybe upend your Aces and your prediction.
The Sky have that championship experience, right? Like going back to back, you know what it takes to get there. The Aces have been to the finals before, but this pretty much same unit with the Sky, we're just there. So they know what it takes. They have great leadership in Candace Parker. They have Courtney Vandersloot. They have Kalia Copper. And they just have their mind set. They're like, we know what it takes to get there. We're going to get back. Whoever's in our way, we're going to bulldoze them. But when they meet the Aces again, that's where it stops. I have Chicago going all the way up until, but we just had the Commissioner's Cup not too long ago, which is basically their in-season tournament for the WNBA. And the Chicago Sky and the Aces met there. The Aces were up by 30 in the first quarter. Like,
it's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. They score a lot of points. That's what I'm getting at. So if the Sky can match them there and kind of prep each series, like, okay, this is what we need to work on to beat the Aces, then that's what's going to get them there. First up for the Liberty, they are a tough team and they barely made it into the playoffs. If you guys didn't know,
barely.
The last regular season games all decided the last three spots of the playoffs. So the Liberty got that spot because they beat the Atlanta Dream. So the Liberty got that spot two times in a row. They've squeaked in. But you have Sabrina Ionescu, which you're going to bet money on. You're going to bet money on that she's going to have a great game. She's going to have a good series. Benaja Laney. So many players on this Liberty team are going to fight to the end, but I still don't think they make it past Chicago and their experience.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the Liberty just snuck in. They finished at 16-20. Doesn't look good for them either in the same way that it doesn't look good for Phoenix. But now we get into some of these matchups that could potentially be slightly more competitive. You have number three, Connecticut Sun versus the sixth seed, the Dallas Wings. The Sun had a really good season. 25-11, just a half game behind the Sky and a game behind the Aces. 11-3 since the All-Star break. They're playing their best basketball right now. What do you think? Maybe a potential spoiler somewhere in here?
Yeah, the Connecticut Sun, I always say this about them. They are the bridesmaids, but never the bride. They have wonderful regular seasons. Top three for the past like 4 years. But they, when it gets to the postseason, it gets a little shaky. So if I'm...
Playoff basketball is tough, Jordan.
Yes. And if you're the Wings, you want the Connecticut Sun. I'm excited for this series because the Wings are a team that will blow up everyone's bracket. Like, they are really good and they're peaking at the right time without their superstar. Arike Ogunbowale, one of the best players in the league, is injured right now and she is expected to miss the first round.
You hate to see it for such an awesome player. Plus, don't forget, she just came back from that ankle injury.
But the Dallas Wings have actually been playing better without her, which is very interesting. Usually that doesn't happen.
Well, so let me stop you then, because they were a game under 500. They finished at 17-18. As you mentioned, they don't have their top scorer, their best player, Arike. She's got an abdominal injury, and yet you're excited for this series and think that the Wings want the Sun. So what are the Wings doing to the Sun, or what do you think the Wings can bring that could potentially spell an upset?
The Sun are really good inside, in the paint. Most of their points are right in the middle. They have Alyssa Thomas. They have Bree Jones, who just clog it up. But the Dallas Wings have Tierra McCowan, who is having a breakout season on this new team. She was with the Fever before. Now she's with Dallas. And we're able to see her blossom into this dominant post player that we knew that she could be. So they have that matchup in the paint. It's not going to be so easy for them where they have Jonquil Jones typically, you know, feasted inside. But they have Tierra McCowan to at least be a barrier and stop them. They also have Izzy Harrison, who is a post player. So I think that matchup in the paint is usually where Connecticut Sun beats everybody else. Dallas has that marked. And then on the outside, Dallas has Marina Mabry, who's having an incredible season and is really stepping up while Rike is out. And Connecticut's a little inconsistent on the outside with their guards. I think Heidelman is doing well. Courtney Williams is great. But I think Marina Mabry is going to drop a 30-point game on them and they're not going to see it coming because they're expecting Arike to do that. And since she's not here, maybe they fall back a little bit and Dallas kind of strikes. That's what I'm hoping for.
Are you going to do it? Are you going to pick the upset?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, there we go. You heard it here first on Sports Illustrated Weekly. Jordan's picking the upset. All right, last one for you. Number four, Seattle Storm versus the number five, Washington Mystics. They finished with the same record. Both were 22-14. Tiebreaker and home court go to the Storm. Super even. What are we looking for here aside from farewell to Sue Bird, who is like one of the great, not just great all-time basketball players, but one of the great all-time athletes ever. I can't believe she's retiring.
I can't believe it either.
I'm so old.
It's bizarre. I don't know a WNBA without Sue Bird. Like she
basketball. Like going back to college.
I know. She has been winning at every level for so long. But this has been a wonderful farewell tour to her. Every game, her last home game, her last regular season game, like everything has really been this, we love you, Sue. We love you. Now it's the playoffs. And I don't know if the Washington Mystics are going to be so nice to Sue on her farewell tour, but it really helps that Sue is on a Seattle Storm team with Breonna Stewart and Jewel Lloyd and all of these Tina Charles, like all of these.
Yeah, they're good at basketball.
Really great basketballers. I watched the Seattle Storm the other day and I was like, they could win it all. Like they're that good. They are so good. And when we talk about experience in the postseason, this is a core that has won multiple championships together, have been to the playoffs almost every season, have been to the finals. So they know what it takes. They're like, you know, regular season, yeah, we're the fourth seed, but we're going to turn up in the playoffs. This Washington Mystics team is trying to figure that out. Elena Deladon was a part-time player during the regular season, just to save her for this moment. Natasha Cloud is a little bit of a question mark. I know she got banged up in the last game.
Philly's own
Natasha Cloud.
I'm contractually obligated to mention that anytime anybody from Philadelphia appears. So yes, very excited for her.
You got Kalia Copper too, North Philly. She's on the Chicago Sky, so you'll love her too. But the Washington Mystics are close. I don't think this is their year to make it past Seattle. But they're close. They're like a season or two from winning it again.
So it sounds to me like you're going with the Storm though, or are you wavering?
I'm going with the Storm here. Jewel Lloyd had 38, I think, in the last game. And every time I watch her play basketball, I'm just in awe. And she is wonderful at the sport. And I think this is her time to shine. People have kind of only been talking about Sue's farewell tour and not really about how good Seattle Storm's team is. And I think she wants to kind of prove like, yeah, we're good and we're gonna go far in this.
You've got me excited for that series. You've got me excited for these playoffs.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've already mentioned that the finals are going to be chalk, and then you've got the Aces winning. So we've covered all that. Less exciting, probably for them, maybe not for us, are the teams that were eliminated. I just want to rattle off a couple here with you that did not make the playoffs. The Sparks, Jordan. The Sparks missing back-to-back postseasons for the first time since 97-98 with their first 2 years as a team. Traded away their first round pick. Grim in LA.
Yeah, you know, I was at the last home game last night. And
How'd that go?
It did not go well because, you know, that Dallas team that I was telling you about? Yeah, they beat us by about 40. It was not good.
A friend of mine, Jordan, went to a game recently and said there was no energy in the building. It was kind of dead. People are like, only the hardcore Sparks fans like you go now.
Yeah, it's kind of rough. I think me and my fiance were there and we were looking around and we were like, this isn't Sparks basketball. Like, it was actually bad basketball. They didn't know what they're doing. I've interviewed so many Sparks players this season and it was turnover with coaches and players and egos. And you can make all the shots on the court, but if everything behind the scenes isn't working out and isn't gelling together, then it kind of doesn't matter. And that's what's going on with the Sparks right now. It doesn't seem like anyone is like, hey, remember when we were good? I panned up to the championship banners while I was there and I zoomed in to just remember the good times that, like, we were good at one point,
it's
right?
It's been a minute.
So we got to get back there. We have to get back there. I don't know what it's going to take, but this season was pretty awful. Like, it was pretty bad.
How long? I mean, when you say you don't know what it'll take, I mean, ballpark me, like how grim do you think it is? Like, when do you think they're back in the mix? Are we talking about like a full hard reset here?
You know, this season was the reset. It was pretty much a whole new roster. And then I saw a tweet the other day that said like 6 players are free agents or unrestricted free agents. So will they come back to this firestorm? I don't know. Are they going to go somewhere else? I think we need a new coach. Derek Fisher was fired. And then we had an interim with Fred Williams, I believe. And no one really bought into what he was doing because it just seemed like it was temporary. So if we come in, have a coach come in and say, this is our identity. This is what we're going to stand for. This is what we're going to play for. Hey, let's watch some old game film of the Lisa Leslie Sparks and how packed it was in Staples and the Forum. Like, let's get back to how great we can be. Then I think there'll be buy-in because the players want to play at a high level. They want to win. And individually, they're all great players. They just have to figure out how to gel them together.
Small things. I mean,
it's just a tiny
couldn't take that long.
Organization right. change. Yeah.
Yeah. One more team that I wanted to mention to you that didn't make it. The Lynx were eliminated, which means we say goodbye to the great Sylvia Fowles. A lot of media attention, obviously, and rightly so, as she's leaving. Highly recommend, by the way, Ben Pickman's story on her in SI. Sylvia is a legend. She's got a very unique life story, which I want to touch on with you. But real quick, as a basketball player, 15-year career, 2 WNBA titles, 2 finals MVPs, 4 Olympic golds, go on and on about total rebounds and field goal percentage and double-doubles, member of the W's 25th anniversary team, just dunked in the most recent All-Star game.
It was awesome.
Put her career in perspective. Explain her greatness to people.
Man, sweet Syl. First of all, she is the nicest person I've ever met. Like, sweet Syl just is the perfect moniker for her because she is so nice. But her career is really dominance. Like, pure dominance for a really long time. Like, a 15-year career, she's still the league leader in rebounding. Her last season, she has the all-time leader in rebounds. And it's so interesting because when you see her play, even this season, you say, she's still dominant. Why is she hanging it up? But she wanted to end on this note. And I think as basketball fans, we can always appreciate that. We didn't want her to go down an injury or she was going to retire in 2015 when she had a hip surgery, but she didn't want to go out like that. She wanted to still go out as this dominant, most decorated player. And for an organization like the Lynx, where she helped, you know, really create their dynasty and help with that. But the game is going to miss her. I think a lot of people are going to be able to get more layups now that she's not in there blocking and share the rebounds somewhere else. But just as fans, you know, she plays with such tenacity and energy, but is also super, super kind and really nice. We're just going to miss her. We love Sylvia Fowles here.
Right to the last, as you said, still dominant on the board, still cleaning the glass, still burying people, which is appropriate because she's going to spend her next phase of her life as a mortician?
Yes.
This is a wild component. Again, I recommend people go read Ben Pickman's story, but it's all about how she was like into death from an early age. And she like just decided to have a side hustle where she like showed up at a funeral home and was like, I'll help you beautify these corpses. And that's going to be her life. It's wild.
It's so wild. She is probably the most interesting person ever because also she like knits and she like knit everyone a homemade gift on her last home game while she was receiving all these flowers and gifts. She knitted everybody something personal. Like that's who she is. But also, yes, she says that people just aren't educated in the mortician area and that it's actually great and she loves it. So more power to her. Great retirement plan, honestly. Wow.
I wish her the best. She was a delight to watch. I'm excited about the playoffs now because we've previewed them with you. So we wish you the best as well. Listen to Jordan on the Spinsters with Haley, who's also a friend of the program, and watch her WNBA commentary on Buckets. She's our number one seed and a surefire Hall of Famer, Jordan Liggins. Thank you for this.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And a reminder to please rate and review the show. It helps people find us. Sports Illustrated Weekly is a production of Sports Illustrated and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite shows. And for more of Sports Illustrated's best stories and podcasts, visit SI.com. This episode of Sports Illustrated Weekly was produced by Jordan Rosieri, Jessica Yarmosky, and Isaac Lee, who is also our sound engineer. Our senior producers are Dan Bloom and Harry Swartout. Our executive producers are Scott Brody and me, John Gonzalez. Our theme song is by Nolan Schneider. And if you've stuck around this long, we leave you with this.
I'm preparing for people to just show up and be like, oh, well, this distant cousin was invited, so I'm invited, right?
That's how me and Jordan are going to show up. Great. I just assumed we were invited.
Come to Santa Clarita. Come on down. All Jordans are invited for sure.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Cameron-Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.